Starting a new series for our resurrection season today. It's called Nailed. I was riding down the road listening to our radio station that my wife manages, and I'm listening to a program, and they're talking about the emergent church. And they're also talking about a lot of churches today that start up, new churches that just aren't preaching the gospel anymore. They're not preaching the word of God. And a lot of the new books that are out there about how to start a church or how to grow a church, you know, they basically, you know, want you to get the people's opinions and what they're looking for and, you know, preach around that and work that, do it that way, okay? Not necessarily the Bible. And I'm riding down the road and, you know, just I'm hearing this and I've heard it before. I've seen the books. I don't listen to them. Amen. I listen to some books, good books, but I'm not going to listen to something that says don't preach the gospel. Don't preach the word of God. Don't preach against sin. See, sin's an ugly word, ain't it? Sin. Can't do that. You'll run people off. Well, unless the Lord build the house, we labor in vain to build it anyway. Amen. And I think he would be happy for us to preach the word of God. So that's what I'm going to do on these 3 weeks. Amen? We preach the word all the time around here. We try. Sometimes we don't do as good a job as we could do and should do. But 3 weeks here at Fellowship Church to help you get your relationship with God nailed. Pull me down just a bit, Kevin, just a smidgen. 3 weeks we're going to help you get your relationship with God nailed. If you're here and you somehow, you just feel like you don't have that relationship with God nailed, that's my job, my goal the next 3 weeks to really help you get that relationship with God nailed. And you might have been a Christian for years, but somehow, some way, you've really sort of forgotten what it is you really are like and what you've been saved from and things like that. So we're going to talk about it in this series called Nailed. All right? So let's go with it and see what we do today. Let's pop it up, Raj, and we're rolling. I'm nailed. Can you say that with me? I'm nailed. That's my goal today. When I get done in about 30 minutes, 35, 40 minutes from now, I hope that you're going to say, man, that guy nailed me today. I got nailed today. Yeah. How is it that we get off and Jesus gets nailed? Say. It ain't happening. We're going to get nailed today. And you follow my train of thought, I think you'll see it and you'll agree. And you'll be thankful, I believe, at the word of God. The word sin. That's what we're going to talk about today. Sin. Can't talk about sin. Everybody will leave. Well, you better hit the door. Okay? The word sin is found hundreds and hundreds of times in the Bible. It hisses at you when you say it. Say it with me. Sin. One more time. Sin. It hisses at you. You shouldn't say that. My sister, my own sister, and I love my sister. My sister said, now you don't preach about sin and that hellfire and brimstone. I don't like that stuff, do you? And I went, You know, but we talk about the love of God and the love of Jesus. We don't always talk about that. But that's the Bible, amen? How can we preach the Bible when it's mentioned hundreds and hundreds of times? But now you can't say that in your new churches today. That's crazy talk. And mainline denominations, they've given up on this years ago, amen? Talking about sin. Okay, but we're going to talk about it today. Why? Because you need to know you're nailed today. And I've been in my office all week and I got hammered, so it's your turn. Here we go. We've all been bitten by sin. We've all been bitten by sin. Keep looking. The first time sin is mentioned, I want you to see it. First time it's mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 4, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, dealing with Cain. So Adam and Eve had two young'uns, Cain and Abel, right? I mean, so they're just out of the gate here. And we're already talking about sin. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And watch what happened. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and murdered him. You think that's sin, yes or no? So right out the gate, in the Bible. Mentioned hundreds of times right there at the beginning. Sin. Let's keep looking. Second time it's mentioned, that doesn't mean there wasn't sin between this point and Genesis 18, because there was a lot. But the second time it appears in the Bible is at this tremendous judgment that God pours out on Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at, and the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their what? Sin is very grievous. In this particular situation, homosexuality. Oh no, we can't say that sin. You'll offend people. Well, be offended. It's sin, and so is adultery. Amen? It's sin. Oh no, it's choice. It's sin. We don't like it. It bites us. That's the Bible. Here's the last time it's mentioned. So it's mentioned hundreds of times throughout the Bible. And in the last book, boom, towards the end of the book. I mean, so this sin deals all the way through. Revelation 18:2. And this is the last days. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Babylon speaks of, in the last days, this world's system, economically, politically, religiously. In the last days, God will judge this world. It's become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Keep looking. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her what? Sins. And that you receive not of her plagues. For her what? Sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So what's the deal? How can we not preach on sin, say? If it's mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible, from the beginning, boom, 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 all the way through, right to the end. So we're going to look at it today. Here's something unusual that we see. Very unusual. Look at this. It's crazy. Here is the angel Gabriel introducing Jesus to Joseph. Joseph is worried. Wait, this person he's engaged to, a spouse to, is pregnant, and he knows he ain't the daddy. This is a problem. And so here's what Gabriel says. Gabriel, the angel, appears and says, while Joseph thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived inside of her is of the Holy Ghost. Watch this verse. And she shall bring forth a son. Say it with me. And thou shalt call his name what? For he shall save his people from their what? I mean, of all the things you could say about Jesus, the creator of the universe, the God of the world. It's interesting. Gabriel had one message, didn't he? One message. His name will be Jesus. He's going to save his folk from their sins. Amen? That was the message. That's just unusual to me. Keep looking. Look at John the Baptist. So now Jesus is 30 years old. And now he's going to have his public ministry for 3 years. Well, look at what John says. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming unto him, and he says, say it with me, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the what? Sin of the world. Of all the things he could have said about him, it must be important, say. I'd say if the angel Gabriel's going to talk about it, and I'd say if John the Baptist is going to talk about it, I think Gary needs to talk about it. Amen? I could care less what other people think. That's insanity. We're just going to give up on why Jesus came. That's crazy. That's why he came. Keep looking. Jesus was born. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose from the dead. Why? Here's why, right here. Bingo. Pop it up. To deal with sin. That's why he came. But no, Clark, you shouldn't talk about that. It hurts people's feelings. Grow up. Amen? Good night. If I grew up as a kid like that, And I lived my life, oh, it hurt my feelings. I got my tail beat up all day long. Grow up. You're a sinner. You sin. Amen? And I know that with some of you today, I know that you're like, Clark, of course I know I'm a sinner. That's not my problem. Amen? But we need to make the case. We need to know that we're nailed to the wall when it comes to this issue. But somehow, you know, when it comes to sin, we don't want to talk about it. But the elephant's in the room. Amen? We're sinners. And we can't just make it, wish it to go away. We can't start churches and just not talk about major key issues and somehow think we can glorify God. We can't. We've got to deal with it. So let's look at it. I'm nailed. Can you say that with me? Are you feeling nailed already just a little bit? Say, I'm nailed. You feeling a little nailed? You're not nailed yet. This is just the intro. Here we go. Keep looking. Here we go. Come on. We're nailed, and just wishing it away ain't going to cut it. We can't wish sin away. We can't wish our sin away. It's just not going to happen like that. So we're going to deal with it. The gig is up. The fat lady's sung. The cat's out of the bag. The writing's on the wall. Our bell has been rung. Amen? That's the deal. We're sinners. Say that with me. We're Say it again. We're. That's who we are. Keep looking. We are nailed. Let's look at sin this morning. I'm going to look at sin from about four or five different areas. My goal is today is that you're going to be encouraged, actually, and you'll know more about sin and about your own self and sin by the time we're done. So let's look at it. First of all, what does sin mean? What does it mean? It has two dominant meanings in the Bible. And here's what it means. Number one, to miss the mark. Say that with me. To miss the mark. And you might say, well, what does that mean? I don't know if I've missed the mark too much. Okay, let's look at what it means. It's any act or attitude of man or woman, boy or girl, that does not hit the bullseye of God's glory. It's not missing the mark according to my life. It's missing the mark according to God's glory, His bullseye. Now, how many of us have missed that bullseye of God's glory in my life? Come on. All right? That's what it means. It means to miss the... I almost got him. Oh, no, I didn't. That's what it means. Okay? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what that verse means. We've come short of the glory of God. And all of a sudden, we missed the mark. That's what it means. Number two, it means to overstep a forbidden line. God forbids certain things. And guess what? We still step across the line. Keep looking. When a man or woman, boy or girl, intentionally, or say that next part with me, or accidentally steps over the line of the law of God. Anytime, but I didn't mean it. You did it. Not saying you can't be forgiven, but guess what? You did it. I almost got close to the, you missed it. That's what sin is. God is holy. And that's the way He puts it in His Word. Look at it. 1 John 3:4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. I stepped over the law. Well, God's not big on that law stuff anymore, is He? Well, friend, He's still big on right and wrong. Amen? And it's right and wrong that we should be doing right that we don't do, and that's why Jesus came, because we're in a heap of trouble with God. And that's what it's all about. I'm nailed. Sin. So, that's what it is. That's what it means. Well, when did sin begin? I hope you'll stay with me, because I know you can't talk about sin. It's boring. But come on here. I believe we might learn. Come on. When did sin begin? A lot of times we think it began right in the Garden of Eden. Well, it did for us. But it began somewhere else. Look at it. It first began with Satan or Lucifer. Look at Isaiah. God gives us tremendous passages, at least two of them that are excellent. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Satan talking. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. God talking. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. This is where it began. God, I can't understand it. God created angelic beings. I don't know how He did it. I don't know how He did hardly anything. Amen? I'm from the country. All right? But you can't help but deny it. They're angels. They're angelic beings. And somehow there was some kind of revolt. It was led by Satan in his own heart. And he did this. Ezekiel follows up with this. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, but that wasn't good enough. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast what? Sin. So where did sin begin? Began with Lucifer. Began somehow in the heavenlies. I don't understand it, but that's what the Bible teaches. Keep looking. But God was not cast down. Satan was. See, that was Satan's plan. You know, he's going to be exalted and God's going to be cast down. That didn't happen. God wasn't cast down. Satan was. Satan's treachery however, was unsuccessful, but it did introduce a new evil element into the world. And that's where sin came from. Now, if you want a better explanation, you have to find it from somebody else. All I know is sin happens. Amen, don't you? And we can't argue about it, and that's what the Bible teaches. Well, when did it begin? First with Satan, second with mankind, which had something to do with Satan. Let's look at this real fast. In Genesis 2, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat." Eat all these. But guess what? The tree of knowledge of good and evil, you can't eat. "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt" what? "Surely die." So don't eat that one. Pretty good English say. All right? If something's poison, you shouldn't drink it. I shouldn't have to tell you but once. Amen? Don't drink Clorox. Come on. "Well, I want to drink it. It looks really good. You got all this other stuff to drink, fool." Don't drink Clorox. Amen? But somehow, "Oh, I got to have that treat." Sinned. And I don't understand it, but that's what happened. Oh, I can understand how it happened, because that'd probably be the same way Adam was, for sure, and Eve. And when the woman, after she was tempted of the devil to do this, and a long dialogue goes along between them in Genesis, when she saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She gave also unto her husband, and say it with me, and he did eat. And that's where sin came from. And because of that, they died. There was death, and there was separation from God, and they couldn't have that communion with God anymore. That's where sin began. Here's what the Bible says in the New Testament. "Wherefore, as by one man," that's Adam, "sin entered the world, and death by sin." Now everybody dies. "And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." 1 Corinthians 15:22 says this. Say it with me. "For as in Adam all" what? "Die." Keep looking. So that's where it began. So Satan proposed to Adam and Eve the same plan that he had adopted. This was his plan. He can't even be creative, man. Hadn't you already seen this one didn't work, dude? He said, "Assume your independence." Okay, and that's what they did. And then he said this, "Depart from God's will and purpose. Do it your way." And that's what Adam and Eve did. So that's where sin began. Satan helped them to become just like him. Say this part with me. Cursed and what? Cursed and cast out. Be like me. Cursed and cast out. And that's where sin began. And because of that, guess what? We've all been bitten. I have not met a person yet in my life who was not a sinner. Who that I could talk to for a little while and convince them they're a sinner. I know you had the great-grandmother, and she was a saint, and all that kind of good stuff. But if she really was a saint, which she really ain't, she would probably be the first to admit that she'd done wrong in her life. Amen? So we've all sinned. So he drove out the man. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So all have sinned. So that's what it is, and that's when it began. Let's look at this one. And this is where I wanted to go this morning. So really hang in here with me, right here. How can I know I'm a sinner? Would you say that with me? How can I know I'm a sinner? I want to help you today. And I want you to help other people too. How can I know I'm a sinner? Number one, pop it up, Raj. History. History. Got some history buffs in the building? You like to read? History. Read your history books. I read this. There's been estimated to have been 45 billion human beings alive since creation. 45 billion human beings alive since creation. Now watch this. It's estimated that over one-third of those 45 billion, that's 15 billion, one-third were killed by other human beings. 45 billion people since the beginning of time, 15 billion of them killed at the hands of another man or woman, boy or girl. Look at it. History. They were stabbed, stoned, strangled, shot, gassed, bombed, burned, drowned, hung, buried alive, and on and on. Oh, no, but we're not sinners. You can't read your history. Lay the Bible down for just a minute. You can't read your history books without being convinced. Human beings are sinners. Amen? Human beings are wicked. And you might not do some of those things to people, but I guarantee it, if we could warp you back in time and put you under those kind of conditions and you not have the word and the truth and things like that, don't be surprised what you would do. Are you hearing me? So history, look at the second one. Conscience, say that with me. I'm having a hard time here this morning. Would you say that with me? Conscience. What do I mean? Watch it. We have a built-in sin gauge. We have a built-in sin gauge. Well, who did that for you? God put that in you. Why? Because you're a great person? Uh-uh. Because you're prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Amen? We have a conscience inside of us. It can be defiled, but it cannot be denied. Now, I know some people grow up in a certain environment, and it doesn't seem like they've got a conscience. They hardly know right from wrong. That's because of what they've been taught. That's, you know, the way they are. But the bottom line is that doesn't mean they don't have a conscience. Everybody has a conscience. We all have one. And that lets me know I am a sinner. How many have done something wrong and your conscience said that was wrong? Let me see it. How many were about to do something wrong and your conscience said, don't you do that, sucker, that's wrong. We think it's that little devil angel thing. It's not. It's the conscience that's inside of you. Because you're a sinner. Here's the third way I can know I'm a sinner. Religion. Religion. Now, what do I mean? This even goes back into history again. Look at it. Even heathen religions. These are religions that don't teach anything about Jesus. Look at it. Even heathen religions testify to a universal consciousness of sin as well as the need of reconciliation with a supreme being. Pop it up. It's the gods are angry kind of idea thing. Even cultures where they haven't had the truth down in time past, and they can be the most primitive, there's something inside of these people that somehow know, I've got to appease the gods. I mean, they might make him a monkey, they might make him a tree, they might make him this, that, or the other, but somehow I know I've done wrong. And they will do some of the most wicked things, sacrifice their own children. How many have ever heard that? Say, what are they doing that for? Got to appease the gods. Religions teach us that inside of a man is something that says, there's something wrong with me. I can't have a relationship with God without offering or doing something. So religion teaches us this. The earliest religious philosophies wrestled with the problem of moral evil. I'm talking about when you read back and you look at philosophy, these guys were grappling with moral evil. I'm not saying they had all the answers. They didn't. And a lot of them were just crackpots and screw-ups, okay? But the fact of the matter is, they're talking about it. They're philosophizing about it down through the ages. Look at the next thing. Now, this is where I really want you to have your attention. The idea that man is inherently good is much more popular today than it ever was before in religious history. Much more popular today. Now, I can't get off track too long. But I want to just say something. Pop it up, Raj. There was a man named William Wilberforce, and I think it's about 200 years ago this very day that slavery was abolished in England. And that's a great thing. It was awesome. But William Wilberforce, when he was a young man, he came into Parliament as a young man, okay? And he tried to get slavery abolished in England. And he would get up and he would try to talk about it. You know, it needs to be abolished, not right. And not only did they didn't vote against him, they screamed him down. He didn't even get to have a vote. That's how wicked the heart of man is. And the thing about slavery, I want to just try to mention a couple of things. Slavery has always been. It's been since, read history, go back, whether it's this country or that country or another country, even the children of Israel, they were what? Slaves. It's always been because man has always been what? Wicked. And so when William Wilberforce got up to say it was wrong, it wasn't like today that we could see that's wrong. It was woven into the fabric of all society. It was like pulling something out of a blanket that you couldn't get out. And so they screamed him down. They couldn't see that it was wrong. Here's how slavery worked. The slave ships would go to Africa. This is just one example. They would go to Africa and they would apprehend and capture these people. And many of them, they were leaders, they were dignitaries. Where they lived, they would just capture them. The slave ship housed about 600 human beings. Are you hearing me today? Say that housed 600 human beings. Here's how they'd put them on the ship. It was a slab.
a slab, different shelves. And they would stick them on these shelves. It could be about 18 inches high. 4 foot to 6 foot long. They would shackle their hands as they're laying on this shelf. They'd put a shackle around their neck, a shackle around their feet. It would take the ship 3 weeks to go from Africa to the West Indies, where they'd be sold. 3 weeks! When the ship got there, 400 of the 600 were dead. Are you hearing me say? So if you're one of those ignorant people, excuse me, that somehow thinks slavery was a good thing, we help these poor people, that's an idiotic statement. And certainly don't make it in my presence. 400 of the 600 will be dead. And the 200 that would live, their body was all out of joint, many of them. They laid those 3 weeks in their own waste, in their urine, in their blood. But William Wilberforce got on the floor and said, "This is wrong." And they shouted him down. We're not as good as we think we are. Are you hearing me say? Oh, no, I would have never done that. You would have too done it. It's a blight. It was horrible. But thank God that man remained persistent. Amen? But before we give England too much credit, William Wilberforce couldn't get a bill passed through Parliament that said we should abolish slavery. He had to be tricky. And I don't have all the facts on it, but it goes something like this. They made a law to basically try to outlaw pirate ships. And they had to register their ship and fly their flag. And William Wilberforce knew that this would also, and there were stiff penalties. If we don't see that flag, we're going to assume you're a pirate ship. We're going to blow your butt right out of the water. You're going to be killed, apprehended, no questions. And William Wilberforce knew that this would also take in the slave ships because they'd be too scared to come into those waters. Does that make sense to you? And that's what happened. And through a period of time, that's how it got taken away. And then finally, I think it's today, we celebrate the holiday today, the anniversary this very day, that William Wilberforce was able to pass the law that slavery was outlawed. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for that. Come on. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it was 60 years later before America caught on. Are you hearing me? 60 years later. Did you know up until 1960, a country like Saudi Arabia, with all the money they've got flowing in there, they still had slaves. There are still slaves all across the globe today, friend. It's a mess. One thing else, I know I would get off on this if I talked about it. One other thing that happened was when that happened in England, the gospel was being preached. There was an awakening that took place in England and other places of the world. But there was also something else that was woven into the fabric, and that was prostitution. Prostitution's always been around, because men have been evil since the beginning, amen? But it wasn't like when you walked down the streets and you saw a brothel that you thought anything was wrong with it at all. Matter of fact, a lot of the brothels would brag, and the way they were the best brothels, they would brag that they had girls, only girls under the age of 14. And through William Wilberforce, there was a change that took place. And they were also freed, and that was outlawed. Are you hearing me? That's not to say it all got perfect, but things happen like that. So William Wilberforce, play a little clip of William Wilberforce, Roger, for us this morning, in case you don't necessarily got the drift just yet.
What's he doing up there?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a slave ship, the Madagascar. It has just returned from the Indies, where it delivered 200 men, women, and children to Jamaica. When it left Africa, there were 600 on board. The rest died of disease or despair. That smell is the smell of death. Slow, painful death. Breathe it in. Breathe it deeply. Take those handkerchiefs away from your noses. There now. Remember that smell. Remember the Madagascar. Remember that God made men equal.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hope you got the message. Now we're going somewhere. We ain't got much to go. There was a man named, pop it up, Jonathan Edwards. It's interesting. We came through this age of enlightenment in the 1800s. But many of you will attest to the fact, whether you do or not, it's the truth. Places like Harvard University, Princeton University, Yale University, these were places that actually preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what? We became a little too big for our britches. We became a little too smart. All of a sudden, now that, see, we see this is wrong, and we see this is wrong, and this is wrong, somehow we think we got the cat by the tail. We think that we're better than God now. Are you hearing me say? We think that we don't make mistakes. We think we don't need messages on sin anymore, see? We've arrived. We haven't arrived. We're going backwards again. Are you hearing me? Jonathan Edwards, the president of, I believe it was Princeton University. Who can tell me the great message that this man preached that left people terrified? The message was called what? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. They say when you heard Jonathan Edwards preach this message, he read it, he was almost blind, but you'd shake in your seat because you thought you were going to hell that minute. We've come a long way, baby. This idea that we're inherently good, that we hear in our churches, that we hear in our culture today, it's only about 100 years old. It's only about 150 years old. If you lived a little while back, you'd know the wretch and the sinner that you are. Amen? I hope you're hearing me. We're sinners. I know it's a little ugly, but we'll live. How can I know I'm a sinner? The Bible. Let's just read the verses. What's the Bible say? I must read them quickly, Rog. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. 1 Kings, Proverbs 29, who can say I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Who's that person that can say that? Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Ecclesiastes 7, 20, for there is not a just man upon the earth that does good and sins not. This is your Holy Bible speaking, God speaking. Isaiah 53, 6, all we like sheep, we've gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 64, 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind, they've taken us away. Romans 3, 10, as it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. All throughout the Bible. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Hallelujah. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look at this one. 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Do you feel like you're a sinner now? Amen. I know that ain't popular. I went to fellowship today. I know you're going to talk about it at lunch. And he just talked about how much I'm a sinner. Yeah, you can put my name to that quote. Because that's what you are and that's what I am. And you'll never be saved. You'll never be a Christian until you come to the place where you realize you're a sinner. You'll never be saved. You'll never be a Christian. I don't care how many times you go to church. You'll never be saved. You'll never be a Christian until you realize, I'm a sinner. I need you, Jesus. And by the way, the last way you can know you're a sinner is your kids. Amen? How many have children? Or let me see. That's all you got to do. I'd love to have a parent come to me this after the message today and tell me they had a kid that wasn't a sinner. Okay? Look at your children. It's interesting. It's a universal thing. The good needs to be taught to these kids, and the bad seems to just come what? Naturally. We're all sinners. Look at your children. That's the way it is, friend. Last thing is this, I think. I'm nailed. Sin. What happens because of sin? Satan will forever be cast into the lake of fire. That's one thing. Revelation 20:10, Satan will forever be cast in the lake of fire. The second thing that happens, every man will physically die. Pop up a scripture. Wherefore is by one man sin, and into the world death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. I've said it before. Here's how I know that every one of you are sinners. You're going to die one day. And if you're a lot younger than me and you're a kid, come see me afterwards, and I'll get the name of another kid, and we'll just let him try to check on you the rest of your life. And I got a feeling one day, even if Clark's passed away, he's going to go, he did die. You know what I mean? It's going to happen. We're sinners. We're going to die. That's what happens to sinners. If you're holy and just perfect, you won't die. The third thing is this. Every man is dead spiritually. And a lot of people don't realize this. There are three things that happen. Satan got cast out, going to hell. Man dies physically. But let me tell you something. Man is dead spiritually now. Without a quickening in your spirit and a belief in Jesus Christ and faith in Him, you remain dead spiritually. That's called the second death. Now, the first death, I can't help you with. I can do your funeral. That's all I can do. Okay? But the second death, I can help you with that one right now. You hearing me today? Say, I can help you on that one. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You won't die that second death. Here's what Jesus said. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, we did this, we prophesied, we've done this, that, and the other, done many wonderful works. Verse 23, and then he says, I'll profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's that second death. He said this as well. Jesus said, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the second death. Revelation 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is what? The second death. So, the first one's going to happen. Ain't nothing about that. We can't do anything about it. But we can work on the second one. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into what? The lake of fire. Okay, that's the second death. That's what happens. Let's finish up this morning. Can you say that with me? We're done. I need help. Why? Because I'm nailed. I need help, man. I'm nailed. That's why Jesus came. Say that with me right here. He heard our cry. Isn't that great that we have that kind of Savior say? See, I want to prepare you for this season. He heard my cry. He heard our cry. I'm a sinner. And he came to help me. Keep looking. It makes more sense now to me why Gabriel said what he said, doesn't it? Say. It just makes more sense now. Gabriel said, we're going to call him Jesus. And he's going to save the people from their sins. It makes absolute perfect sense why he came. Because we're in bad shape, Jack. Amen? Bad shape. That's why Gabriel couldn't say anything that would be better. It makes sense to me now what John the Baptist said. Listen, that's the Lamb of God right there. He's going to take away what? The sin of the world. Makes perfectly good sense. Listen to Jesus Christ himself. Talking to Nicodemus, who was a religious man. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's me, Jesus said. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus tried to help us to make it so clear, even to his own disciples. He said this, I say unto you, Jesus said, say it with me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Say it with me, no man comes to the... Remember the fact that you and I are just good people? That's really only been around for about the last 150 years. Don't let Satan dupe you into thinking you're better than you are. Amen? The starting place is to know you're a sinner. Own up to it. Maybe we've helped you today. And realize Jesus came to save you from your sin. He's the Lamb of God, the only one that can do it. Bow before his feet today. Believe in him. Receive him today. That's the plan. I'm nailed. He was nailed. I'm free. Hallelujah. Amen? How many are free in this place today? Can I hear something? Come on. I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm free. Amen? Praise the Lord.